Good evening, saints. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. The Lord has prepared this day and this hour and the beautiful weather for us to gather together in His sanctuary and to hear His servant, our dear brother, Matt, speak this evening. And so I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I feel that your preparation is appropriate for this evening to receive that testimony from our brother and to hear those words. Those thoughts have been placed on his mind and his heart this evening. A call to worship, if you would, if you have your Book of Mormons with you, turn to the Book of Mosiah, the second chapter. And I'm going to read 21 through 24. And humble yourselves, even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain in remission of your sins. And ye shall grow the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due. With that in mind, and that in our hearts, if you would, open your hymnals to hymn number 201, familiar to all of us, Redeemer of Israel. We will stand for the singing of this, and after that, our dear brother Deacon Elijah Carnahan will bring our invocation this evening. 201.
Dear and gracious, loving Father in heaven, we invite thy Spirit to be with us this evening and thy blessing to be poured upon our speaker this evening, Matt Hakes, that he will speak unto us the words which you'd have us speak and that we may learn and to do diligently those things which you'd have us to do. And we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture reading this evening, I'm going to share with you the 23rd Psalm, and it should be familiar to all of you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Remain seated and turn to number 25, number 25. Come thou fount of every blessing.
In preparing for this evening, trying to pray and trying to figure out what the Lord has placed on my heart and my mind and what he wanted to share, it kept coming in about making a list of the things that we fear. And so if we were each to make a list of the things we fear, they would be similar but for different reasons. And so the question kept coming to mind, because fear is not something that the Lord really wants us to do. So the question is, why? Why do we fear? Now, as a child, I don't remember fearing many things. The dark is definitely one of those things. My own children fear the dark. I think we all do. Spiders, maybe even clowns, I think. Snakes, definitely as a child. Playground kisses that you'd get from little girls who chased you around because they had cooties, or something I definitely remember fearing. Because, obviously, that was bad. As a teenager, my greatest fear was not being accepted into my friend group, so I became a follower. And that was my daily task, just to try to conform and get along. Now, as an adult, my fears began to grow, and there was evidence of those fears. Fear of judgment, fear of others' perceptions, fear of losing our possessions, fear of what society thinks of us or will do to us if we do not conform. Fear of death, fear of ridicule, fear of losing a job or income, fear of not being able to take care of my family. Now, why do we fear, specifically, why do I fear these specific things? But why do we fear in general? And there's a few things that came to mind. Now, fear keeps us from change. Fear keeps us from growing into the person God created us to be. Fear can either drive us or paralyze us. And then fear is our prison house and confines us in our cell. But Jesus is the comforter that has the ability and will break the chains of fear that hold us. Now, the question I also asked is fear something that we are born with? Or is fear a learned behavior? Now, if we think that fear is something that we're born with, then the Lord placed it within us, and we are predisposed to fear. I don't believe that that's the case. I definitely don't agree with that. I believe that fear is a learned behavior, that we learn to fear from watching others or experiences we have in life. Now, as a child, my dad worked on a horse farm. So this is Diamond, Missouri. This is in southwest Missouri on a large horse farm. And I'm about Crosby's age, and he would take me to work from time to time. And I remember pulling up the driveway, and I can still see it. There are lines of hay bales stacked. And, you know, as a child on a farm, you just run around and try to find stuff to keep yourself busy. And so I remember the family that owned the farm. They had young children, and they were older than me, but I would try to keep up with them. And I would try to climb the hay bales and try to jump off them and everything. But one day they found a tree close to the house, very tall tree. And so they climbed the tree. Me being like Crosby and not wanting to give in, I climbed the tree as well. And I got as high as I could before, in an instant, I fell. And I find myself falling down, and what stops my fall is a cinder block laying on the ground. And it hits me right in the back of the head. And it's interesting, because Crosby has a scar in the exact same place from where he got hit in the back of the head. But I remember my head breaking open. I'm having to go to the hospital. The blue sheet is over my head. They're stitching me up. And to this day, I have a fear of heights. Even getting on my roof is like the worst thing in the world. Now, I can fly in a plane and do all that stuff. I don't understand that. And my goal is to skydive at some point in time, which is never going to happen, I don't think. But that's a learned behavior from experience that I had. It wasn't genetically predisposed inside of me to fear heights. That was something I learned. A few years later after that, so I was probably about Hadley's age, 10 or 11, maybe 12, my father was married to my stepmom for a very short time, but her family took us to the movies. And the movie theater is packed, so this is 90, 91, maybe, and the movie theater is packed, so we get the front row, and we're sitting on the floor in the front row. And the movie is Arachnophobia. If you've ever seen it, you understand. So from that point on, I had a fear of spiders. Now, this is from watching someone else's experience on a movie that was happening, but it was something that I learned from them. And it took me a long time to get over my fear of spiders. That was a rough one. That really was. Now, what is the fear defined as? As a noun, it is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain, whether the threat is real or imagined. The feeling or condition of being afraid, a specific instance of or propensity for such a feeling. Now, as a verb, there's two definitions: to regard with fear, be afraid of, to feel apprehensive or uneasy. Now, I remember as a child being afraid of the dark. And it was an uncomfortable feeling because I didn't know what was in that dark hallway or dark building or even outside in the dark. And I see that my children have that same feeling as well. And there's always that comfort knowing what the Lord can provide you. Now, Hudson, I may embarrass him a little bit, but Hudson will not, at the end of the day before going to bed, will not go into the bathroom to brush his teeth if it is dark. But at 4:30 in the morning, can walk around the house with a blanket over his head with nobody's help. Now, the blanket is his comfort. It helps him to be able to walk through the house. And that's what the Lord does for us. He provides that barrier around us, that protection that protects us from what's in the dark. Because we don't know. I don't know what's in the dark. Now, as an adult, granted, I can go into the dark and walk in the dark now. But I have that knowledge. I know that the Lord is going to be there and is going to protect me. But as a 9-year-old, you don't. It's harder. Now, passages in the Bible, they tell us that the Lord directs us not to fear. The Lord does not want us to fear. We are instructed to hold fast and believe in the Lord with all of our being. That tells me that we are not born to fear. It is not something that is in our genetic code. It is a learned behavior. And fear comes in all shapes and sizes for each of us and can dwell in your heart. It does not matter what stage in life you are in. We have a way out. Whether you watch the news or you don't watch the news, sometimes you get fearful of what's going on. But no matter what is going on, He is there. 2 Samuel 22:2-4. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust." Listen to this. "He is my shield and my horn of salvation. My high tower and my refuge, my Savior, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." 2 Samuel 22:3. "He is my shield." Just as Hudson uses his blanket in the early hours of the morning to protect himself from the dark. What do you have that you use Now, in doing some more research on this, I find that there are, and everybody knows this, it's no surprise, there are 365 days in the year. Once every 4 years, there's 366, but who's counting? And the term fear not is mentioned in the Bible 365 times. That's not a coincidence. On a daily basis, the Lord is telling you, fear not. On your daily walk, He says, believe in me and fear not, because I am there with you. It reminds me of the steps in the sand, and everybody has seen that picture. Sometimes there might be two steps, and the one is not in front of the other. They are side by side. Sometimes there's one set. And it doesn't mean that the Lord is not with you. It means that the Lord is carrying you. Fear not, because I am with you. Now the Lord is guiding us, directing us to trust Him, and He is with us every day and every step of the way. Three scriptures that I've brought this evening as well. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Your comforter will always be with you every step of the way. And Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will fear not. What can man do unto me? Just three instances there that the Lord is telling you, fear not. There's 362 left. Now, I'm not going to read them all this evening. But you get the point. You understand. In your daily walk, fear not. Now, the opposite of fear would be to be grateful. Grateful for the gifts the Lord has provided, especially when our feet hit the floor in the morning, when the sun crests the horizon and meets our eyes. Be grateful when we feel the cool wind on our skin, when we hear the joyous sound of young voices and little feet. Be grateful when we feel the warmth and love from a hug from a loved one, when the sun kisses our skin and the rain dampens our clothes. Be grateful when our fingers get dirty in the soil and the smell of fresh-cut grass. Be grateful with the feeling of joy when others find success and the Lord is in our heart. And now these are just a few of the many things that the Lord wants us to be grateful for the life that He has given us, for the blessings that He has provided us. There are so many other things in this world for us to be grateful for. But what that means is there is no room for fear in our hearts, in our lives, just the love and light of the Lord. In closing, I have Isaiah 41:13. Now listen to these words closely, please. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee. No matter what is going on, He is with you. He is carrying you at times, but He's always walking beside you. Fear not, I will help thee.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciated that. Our closing hymn this evening will be hymn number 364, tenderly lead thou me on. Before that, I will have the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter, one of my favorite scriptures, if I may. regarding fear. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. I think that's important in these times, saints, that we, as we look upon the world, as Matt has just mentioned, those fears that might overtake us, might consume us, that we know that there's a promise to be had. And that's our Heavenly Father and His Son. If you would, number 364, tenderly, tenderly lead thou me on. We will stand for the singing of this, and then after that, Deacon Enoch Carnahan will bring our closing prayer this evening. 364.
Father, thank you for those words which Matt provided us this evening. May they go with us throughout this week until we meet again, and help us continually growing closer to you and have our thoughts and our minds on those words and those things you would have us do throughout this week, and let your Spirit may be with us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name I ask thee. Amen.